Well, Merry Christmas to you all. Let's do that again. Merry Christmas. Thank you. It's not too early to start saying that. My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here on the team, and what a joy it is to be with church family. And if you're here as a guest, thank you so much for being here with us. If you're online watching us, thank you for joining with us as well in this Christmas season. As you know, we've been in a series during this Advent time called The Light Has Come. And we've kind of taken Christmas from a little bit different angle because this is true. The light has come, and it speaks about this birth of Jesus, this coming of God's grace to us. And we've used the truth or the understanding of what that means to be the light of the world. And so over the last several weeks during our season, we've talked about, from Pastor Andrew said, that it's the holy light. It's a holy light that's come. And the big idea from that was when we behold the holy light revealed in Jesus, everything changes. When you see the holy light of God, the week after that, we had Pastor Chuck share with us the guiding light, the guiding light. And in that message from Matthew chapter 21, the big idea was God's guiding light illuminates our way to Jesus. And actually, I don't know if you've noticed this, but every week there's a different hue of light. There was a bright light. There was kind of a bluish light. Pastor Rick had the purifying and revealing light from Ephesians 5. God's light reveals us, refines us, and awakens us to a life that reflects his glory. I got the orange light today. The orange light. I feel like I'm clashing up here, but it's about the inviting light, the inviting light. And we're going to be looking at our text from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read that and then pray. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Let's pray. Lord, in this Christmas season, as always, Lord, we need to have our hearts and minds directed back to you because the busyness and the activity and the gifts and the events, all these things, Lord, can be a blessing, but they can always be our distraction as well. But Lord, you are an inviting God, and you are inviting us today to experience you in a fresh way. And we want to experience your welcome today. We want you to settle our minds and our hearts and show us Christ. Show us more of who he is. Your light has come, Lord, and you already are here and you remain with us. And yet in this season we celebrate, as was mentioned earlier, that the humble coming that you planned from eternity past, to come as a child, a vulnerable child, a humble child. Lord, you welcome us today. Help me, Lord, to communicate clearly. Help this time to inspire our hearts more in this Christmas season to respond to your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. In November 1979, I knew my life was about to change. I was preparing to join a small team, about 10 people, who were heading to Maryland to plant a church near the University of Maryland. We had a month before the move, and there were still practical things to figure out, especially housing and jobs for our families. One evening, another husband named Dave and I set out from Columbus, Ohio. We had borrowed a Triumph for a three-day trip to Maryland because our cars were going to break down. We knew it. The plan was simple: scout out the area, see if we could line up work and housing before we moved. About an hour into the drive on Interstate 70, just after dusk, snow began to fall. As we rounded the bend, the engine of the car suddenly died. The car went quiet, and we coasted to the shoulder of the highway. There were no emergency lights on those cars. We had no flashlight. This was before cell phones. It was snowing, and it was complete darkness. Neither of us knew anything about fixing cars or even how to check what might be wrong. So we did what we did know what to do. We laid hands on the car and we prayed. That time, no miracle happened, by the way. I suggested that he stay with the car a while. I walked up ahead about 200 yards up to the top of this incline to see if I could spot an exit or a sign for help. When I reached the top, I could see lights far off to the right and to the left, but I had no idea how far away they were. They might be miles away. Then straight ahead and across the highway, I noticed a farmhouse on the hill. The lights were on, warm and safe. It looked somehow welcoming. I prayed again as I crossed the highway and climbed the hill toward the house. As I approached, I called out, "Is anyone there? Can you help me?" A farmer stepped out. He told me he could drive me to a gas station about a mile and a half away. He also grabbed his rifle, explaining that he might see a deer along the way. I don't know, it was dark. When we arrived at the gas station, I went inside and I saw a middle-aged man, his name was Fred, in a service uniform. Assuming he worked there, I asked him if they had a tow truck. He smiled and he said, "I don't work at this station." But remarkably, he did have a tow truck, and he said he could tow us. So after driving and picking up his truck, we drove back to my car to Dave's relief, hooked us up and took us 30 miles to a foreign repair shop. That 30-mile ride turned out to be a divine appointment. We talked the entire way about faith, about Christ, about why we were heading to Maryland, and what God had called us to do. In the middle of a breakdown in the snow on a dark highway, God opened up a door for the gospel. That night I was drawn to a light on a hill. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." God's light does not always remove the darkness immediately, but guides, reveals, and welcomes. That night, a welcoming light led us exactly where we needed to go and reminded us that God still uses his light to welcome others to his home. The big idea that we're going to be talking about in our text today is this: the light came to shatter the darkness and welcome everyone. I have 3 points I'm going to be sharing today. First is the light has come, the darkness is overcome, and the nations will come. Let's look at the first point. The light has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In the 2 chapters before this one, Isaiah, writing over 400 years before Jesus' birth, speaks about darkness at that time. Hypocrisy, empty religion, moral breakdown, that will mark these last days, even among those who claim to follow God. Against that dark backdrop, this passage gives a rich and hopeful picture of light, renewal, hope, and joy. Our text points to both Christ and his future, a visible reign. This is actually speaking of the final reign of Jesus Christ as well. It depicts the light and the glory that is coming, a light so strong that it draws others, people coming to faith from every direction, especially from the ends of the earth, from the east and the west, as nations are drawn to the brightness of the light of God's salvation. Arise, shine. When you see the light, there's a response that needs to be made. There's an invitation here. When you see the light, to move, to get up, to react. The idea that this light came and there was a response is what it's calling for. There's a welcoming here. There's a desire for you to shine and to glory in this new light that you've seen. It's not just something to hear about, to think about, to be instructed in, but the light is something that we're to respond to. And when we think about God having been an inviting light, like an inviting light, I was thinking about different ways to kind of portray this to you. So I thought about maybe this one here. We have some pictures there. That's an inviting light for many of you. When you see the light on the beach, you're like, yes, it's time to arise and shine. Some of you, even right now, you're taking out your phones and looking at ticket prices. It's vacation time. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come, it says. This light that has come is very personal. Jesus' light to the nations and to us. It's not just to the world, it's to you. The light has come for you. Your light has come. And it's no earthly light. It's the light that enables and comes and moves from the glory of God. When we think about the glory of God, we might think about the transfiguration when Jesus was transformed before some of his disciples. And it says he's risen. This light has brought the glory of God and he's risen upon you. He has come to you to bless you, to meet you where you're at, in your longings, in your darkness, in your difficulties. He comes to bless you. We did not create the light. We did not manufacture the light. We did not have any part. This light to us came to us because of God's glory and because of his grace. And this divine light emphasizes God's glory, symbolizing this hope that we have. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said this. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So in his welcoming of his people in darkness, he's saying, you can have life. You can have the fullness of life. You can have forgiveness. You can have peace with God. You will have a peace and you will have light even in this life, but especially in eternity. So our first point, the light has come. Our second point is the darkness is overcome. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. It's talking about this darkness. Isaiah has been prophesying up to this point in his scriptures, and before we have our text today, and it's been talking about just how dark the world had gotten, how dark the people of God had become. He says this darkness is covering the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. In Isaiah 59, just before our section, he's talking about how dark things are. And he says in verse 7, he says, their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know, and there's no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light and behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. I know lots of us have stopped watching the news or reading the news stories, or at least cut way back, because we just see so much darkness, so much evil, so much difficulty. And when there's such darkness, especially when it's the storms. You know, when you're in the storms, you can't even see the stars. When you have so much difficulty around you and so many trials and so many people going through difficult times, it can feel like, where is the light? Well, there is an inviting light. And it reminds me of these pictures here. It reminds me of like a lighthouse. When you're in the storms, if you were on a ship, if you had been traveling for long periods of time and you've been just going through storm after storm, and finally in the distant shore you see the lighthouse, you have hope. We're almost there. We're going to be saved. There's light, and the light is an inviting light. So where there's darkness, where there's danger, where there's confusion, the light of the gospel dispels the darkness. Although you can't see exactly where you're going to go when you first see the light, you know what direction to head. And obviously, lighthouses sometimes says, you know, there's a cliff here, don't go into this. But you know the land is near. And you know that you can approach that light. And I don't know where each of us are at. I know that over this weekend, I've just gotten call after call after call that people were in hospitals, and our dear Debbie had an accident, Debbie Palmer, and she's on the mend right now. But most of us are surrounded by people who are in thick darkness at this time. And what will penetrate that darkness is the light of Christ. The comfort of Christ, the salvation of Christ. The mention of darkness covering the earth and the peoples alludes to the state of spiritual blindness and separation from God that exists in our world. Andrea Doten, I may have mispronounced your name, by the way. Let's hope not. Spoke with me last week. At the end of the service, she came up to me with a word. She felt like it was for the church. I said, no, I think that's for next week. And so I want to share a portion of it from that. She spoke to me last week at the end of the service, sensing the heartache of the recent news of mass shootings at Brown University and the Hanukkah massacre in Australia, together with other dark reports. I shared with you last week about the persecution that's going on with our partners in East Asia and South Asia and things that we're reading about Africa. We have darkness covering the earth. We have darkness in our nation. We have darkness in our cities. Perhaps you have darkness in your family. And yet in the sadness of the world, we remember Jesus. Hebrews 13:8 says, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Despite this darkness, Isaiah promises that the Lord's glory will rise upon his people, and it's a powerful declaration of divine intervention and the revelation of his presence in this darkness. This theme of light penetrating darkness is prevalent throughout the Bible, symbolizing God's goodness, his truth, and salvation, overcoming the evil and the despair. Earlier, Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 9. He said this, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, speaking of Jesus. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. But this is how darkness is going to be overcome in verse 6 of Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is the light that we put our hope in. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we've seen that the light has come. We're to arise and shine. The darkness is overcome by this light, and now the nations will come. It says, nations and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This light is for all people, for all the nations. David Platt said, what a picture of God saying, I'm going to shine on you as my people in the middle of a dark world in such a way that nations and kings will be drawn to the light they see in you. The light is shining, and it's shining upon you, and you're responding to it. You believe in him, you respond to him, and you follow him. And his glory is seen among his people and among his church. But the nations are going to come to your light. The nations are going to see the light through you. The nations are going to be envious of you. They're going to be longing to what they see in you, the peace and the joy that they see in you, the hope that they see in you. They will be drawn to you. And ultimately, in the new kingdom, the kings and the nations all will be flocking to him. But even now, we saw from Rick's message last week, Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The light is on you. And you are children of light. And so we are to walk as children of light. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. You know, it says that the light is not to be hidden, it's supposed to be up on a stand, on a hill. I'm grateful for that little farmhouse so I could see it. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This Christmas light is not just for us. It's for us to receive. It's for us to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives and give us the opportunity to be this light to others around us. Think of how inviting these pictures of light are. Think of how this. There's the orange, by the way. The orange is there. You know, when you've been away for a long time, maybe at college, maybe from your family, and you come home to a fireplace, cozy place, it's safe, place where you can just relax and enjoy, or a fire pit. You sit, you invite guests, and they just feel welcome in, and they just start letting down their burdens and open up their heart and their life. That's what these lights do for many people. And these are just a faint picture of what the light of Christ is in us, through us, to those around us. People can come in and they can share their lives. They're welcomed. They don't feel threatened. They feel invited. Opening our home to strangers. Opening our home to the nations. So just as you think about this, when you think about Jesus, what was it that you found inviting about him for yourself? What was about his invitation to you that made you say, no, I want him. I want to be with him. I love him. You know, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. He takes us as we are. He takes us in our difficulties. He said, you can come to me and you're going to find rest. You know, some people think they come to God and they're going to get a bunch of rules and they're going to feel condemned and they're going to feel how their shame. But this inviting God, when you look at his interactions with people whose hearts are open to him, they come and they find rest. They find peace. And so it is with those in the darkness. They need to feel welcomed in. They need to feel in their loneliness, in their hopelessness, in their shame, in their debts, in their burdens, in their past failures. They need an invitation. They need an inviting light. And people are drawn to the light through our lives. As I said, the big idea for our section is the light has come to scatter the darkness and welcome everyone. And that's our hope. It's our mission. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. It's the light of Christ that is appealing to others. The inviting light of Jesus Christ that invited us and drew us in and received us where we were. That light is in you. You are the light now. You are the ambassador of the light. Making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For his sake, he made him, God made Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Christ, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. When we come to the light, when we put our hope and faith in him, he forgives us. He heals us. He transforms us. He makes us. He puts his glory in us, and we are his means of drawing the nations to him. I have one last set of pictures to show you. Another welcoming light. I was on a flight once, on a mission trip, and we were on this real little plane, and I got to sit up as a co-pilot in the plane, and we were going through this incredibly horrible storm. And the pilot was just looking and looking and looking, and the storm was really bad, and I was like, do you know where we're going? He said, I think so, which is not a good answer. I think it's over there. And he says, and he goes, oh, there it is. And then he came around and we saw the lights of the runway right in front of us. He says, oh, there it is. And those lights are an invitation. Say, this is the way. This is where you can land. This is where you were meant to land. You were tossed around. You were shaken all over the place. You had your fears. You had your wonders and your doubt. But this is where you need to land. You need to come right down here. And that's like an invitation to us. Jesus said, I'm the way. He said, there's a narrow way. All the other ways, they're not leading you to the right place. There's a narrow way, a straight and narrow path for you. This is what it is. And the light's there, directing you, showing you this is where you need to land. Worship team, you can come. If you've not put your hope in Jesus Christ, let me encourage you, let me implore you, let me beg you. He's inviting you to the narrow way, the way you can find him. I want to finish off my story that I opened up with. I left you off. We had our sharing. Found a little place to stay that night. Next morning, we called the shop where our Triumph had been dropped off. We learned that the owner of the shop was disabled at the time and would not be able to do any work for more than a week. He suggested that his son might be able to help. But when we spoke with him, he told us that he was already a week behind in his work. Now, we prayed, and we called home. We had a lot of people praying for us. And to that son, we explained our situation and pleaded our case, asking if there's any way he could simply just check the car and see if the repair might be easy. Finally, he agreed. What he found was a loose coil wire. He tightened it up, and just like that, we were back on the road, delayed now by about a half a day. We were ready to go, but before we left, I felt this prompting to do something. Fred, the man who had towed us the night before, was in another shop next door to where we were. I said to Dave, my partner here, he said, I can't believe that we're here at this time on this mission, and we broke down and now our car's ready to go. We need to talk to Fred. So we went into the shop, he said, he agreed. And we went into the shop and asked for him. And they said, oh, Fred's in the back. He's putting on some brakes on the cars back there. I walked back next to Fred and I said, Fred, have you thought about what we talked about last night when you were towing us? And by the way, thank you for towing us. He said, yeah, I have. I asked if he had any questions from things that we shared. He said, no, I really don't. I said to him, is there any reason why you would not want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? He said, no. I said, you know, you don't have to be in a church to receive Jesus Christ. I mean, here you are, you're kneeling right down here next to these brakes. You can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior right here. Would you like to do that? He said, yeah, I would. And he prayed and received Jesus Christ right then in that place. The breakdown, the snow, the delay, the loose wire were all part of God's road plan for us. The light on the hill led us for help that night, and the light of Christ met a man in a garage the next day. Just as Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come. God's light still shatters the darkness and welcomes others home. Let's pray. Your light is extending through darkness even now, Lord. We don't always see it, and most do not see it, but it's an inviting light. Lord, if there's ones who would like to put their hope in Jesus Christ, Lord, would you lead them to talk with us? But even now, Lord, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, born, lived as a human, and yet he's God without sin. He came for the purpose of giving his life on a cross for your sin and mine. And if you will put your hope and trust in him, you can be saved. You can have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You don't earn it. You just receive it as a gift. It's the greatest gift of this season. And God wanted you to know that it was legitimate and it was powerful and it was true. So he raised that son from the dead and he lives forever now interceding for you. Put your trust in him. Put your hope in him. And let us all take this invitation, this hope to a dark world around us who so need Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you praise in this season. We desire to give you praise all year round. In Jesus' name, amen.